Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our final study of the book of Revelation in chapter 22, verses 20 and 21, titled The End. This is part 2 of 2.
Of course, if you're lost, then Hebrews 10:27 says, but there's a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation which shall devour the adversaries. So if you're unsaved, you don't have this blessed hope. If you know someone who's unsaved, this should motivate you to get the gospel to them. If you have, continue to pray for them. Because that's what they have. They don't have a blessed hope. They have this to look forward to. A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. But if you're saved, you have this promise. Read that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's how the book ends. It ends, because people, a lot of times they'll say, well, the book of Revelation scares me. If you're saved, you shouldn't be scared by it. But even Christians, because they won't rightly divide it, and they put themselves in the tribulation, well, then you should be scared. Hey, you want to see Greg Miller's preaching change? You convince me that we're going through the tribulation. You think I can get dark now? I'd be up here saying, all right, now, how many of you still haven't built your bunker? Raise of hands. Shame on you. And I'd be, during announcements, we're running a sale on food items that have 50-year storage. Yes, and Sean back there, when he's not here right now, but we'll pretend he is, Sean back there can give you a first-hand endorsement of a really good food drying, what do you call that? Dehydrator. Script. I couldn't remember the word.
Hey,
and the survival kit, you need to be able to, we got a straw so that if you get desperate, you can pee in a bucket and then suck it back out through this straw. Tastes like water. Now, that's what you would be hearing from me.
We're selling ammo.
Yeah, ammo. I still recommend at least a little bit of that, but we'd be selling it by the truckload. And if you look online and you find some of these guys who used to preach the pre-trib rapture and they flip, that's what they start doing. Yeah. They spend about half their time trying to sell you stuff so you can survive the Holocaust. Well, if I believed I was going through the tribulation, that's what I'd be doing. Can you imagine? That would be quite a ministry. To freak everybody out about the Antichrist. He's going to come and chop your head off. You better build a bunker. Get all the ammo and guns and all that. That's not how Revelation ends. But I'm telling you, I believe that if the rapture were not imminent and promised to happen before these things, I don't think it would end like that. I think the book of Revelation would end, hunker down, brothers and sisters, it's about to get wild. Or something along those lines. He'd be calling you out. Wouldn't it? Amen.
Amen.
We've got, perilous times have come. It's getting nasty out there and everything, but nothing compared to what it's going to be like.
It would end more like the Old Testament.
Yes, it would end like the Old Testament.
It says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's how the Old Testament.
Glory! No, I'm thankful the book of Revelation, which can be scary when you think about loved ones who are choosing to go through that. That's the only scary area it is for us. Amen. Ends by saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
New versions. Turn this into an ecumenical promise to all. Now, what we just read, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's talking to Christians. Now, here's what the ESV, known as the English Standard Version, is actually the English Standard Vatican Bible. Here's what the English Standard Version says. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. That is universalism. That is what they, and it's catching on big time. I mean, that's what people like Oprah Winfrey are selling. Rob Bell, you ever heard of him? And how many of you heard the song singer Carmen? You heard him? Not him, but his pastor. He had a pastor named Carlton Pearson. And Carlton Pearson has now gone totally apostate, and he preaches that everybody's saved. Wow. Christian universalism. They teach that Jesus died for our sins, therefore we're all saved. Which is just insanity. Yes, he died for all sin, but he only saved those who believe the gospel, repenting toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are others who are teaching this, who are very popular, who don't come right out and say it. And I gave out copies, and I think, did we have any extra copies of the Billy Graham DVD left? But I gave out copies of the Billy Graham DVD where you'll hear him back in his earliest years say that he believed that people can be saved without even knowing who Jesus is. Wow. And then he said it in recent years on Robert Shuler, on Larry King, and he also said it in a magazine interview and elsewhere. And that's what's happening with the Christian. And the reason is because everyone I just named, has adopted the new versions. And if you don't think the new versions corrupt and kill people spiritually, all you have to do is look at the people who use them.
Yeah.
There are people that I know 10 years ago who would have agreed with what I preach, but they stuck their nose and kept their nose in the new versions, and they don't agree anymore.
Yeah.
And they're all jumping on board the gay thing and all jumping on board the Christian universal thing. And I mean, some of them will say really bad people like Hitler to go to hell. That's about it. New versions are Vatican versions. We've got, I think, one copy of the DVD for those who haven't seen it yet back there. The Vatican is building a one world religion.
Yeah.
David Daniels of chicktracks.com or chick.com has a book out where he explains he was part of the translation teams that were putting out these new versions. And he knew people like that Eugene Nida and people like that personally. He knew them personally. And he's put out a book called Why They Changed the Bible. And that's why. The goal is a one world religion. Mm-hmm. That's what's behind it all. So there you go. Real Bible, Satan's Bible.
Amen.
Back to the real Bible. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And in closing, I just want you to think about this. We miss out on the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven vials, the great white throne judgment. We're observers.
Amen.
And we miss out on this.
Amen.
A lake of fire. Why?
Amen.
That's it. The only reason. You realize you could believe the gospel till you turn blue and God didn't have to save you.
Amen.
That's why you're the chosen. It isn't this cockamamie Calvinist thing. It is that God chose to save those who believe.
Amen.
He didn't have to. But this is His character. God's grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is the best known verse. For by grace are you saved through faith. This is why, again, I want to mention this. And I've said this some time ago and didn't hear much from anybody about it. But then Brian Denlinger came out with a video sometime in the last few weeks, and people really got hot under the collar for what he said, and what he said is true. How many of you heard this stuff? Sola fide.
Amen.
Sola gratias. Sola scriptura.
Amen.
Well, there's a problem with it. It's because that's not Bible. The Bible doesn't say by faith alone. The Bible says by grace through faith.
Amen.
And I think this sola gratias, sola grace, grace alone stuff is leading people into the Christian universalism.
Wow.
It is by God's grace through faith. And the only reason we are able to be saved is because He has given us the gospel in His Word, Scriptura. But when you break them down to solas like that, you just made it nonsense.
Wow.
See, I don't care. I appreciate, I just quoted John Wesley, but he's got some wrong theology.
Yeah.
Martin Luther, terrible theology. A lot of his stuff's terrible. A lot of the reformers were just crazy when it came to some of their theology. What I appreciate is that I believe they're saved, they believe the gospel, and they would preach the gospel. Then they would take you to their churches and screw you up. See how that works?
Yep.
But I can appreciate at least the fact they preach the gospel. I can appreciate the fact that their people, if they believed that gospel, were saved. I can also appreciate the fact they all called the Pope the Antichrist.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. As most preachers in this day and age don't have the spine to do that. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Why? Faith, where does faith come from? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not of yourself, but it's you receiving the Word of God.
Amen.
It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's why a lot of these sermons and a lot of the music being put out today, heaven wouldn't allow in the gates.
Amen.
That's how we're going to end it. But I just want to emphasize that it's by God's grace.
Amen.
Through faith that's produced by the Word of God, believing how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's how you're saved.
Amen.
Anything that clips any of that off is leading to error. And that's why, you know, most of these people I named add works. As a Lutheran, for example, in their catechism, they taught the baptism of infants had salvific value. And the Presbyterian Church under Calvin. And so, I still think in spite of that, God saves people. Because if you believe the gospel and then you screw up your theology, that's how good God is. And then a lot of those people came around eventually. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have some Q&A in just a moment. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this study and this close to 5 years. And I can't even remember. I think we've got close to 100 hours of Bible instruction, and these messages have been heard by people in more than 100 countries in all 50 U.S. states.
Amen.
And they'll continue to go out on BBF Ohio Radio, and they'll continue to go out on the internet websites, the YouTube and sermon audio. And we just ask, Lord, You continue to use these studies. But our goal is simple, and that is to continue to teach those who are teachable and to be used of You to continue to build up and edify the body, the remnant, whatever Philadelphian Christians are left in this age of Laodicea. And it's for the glory of Jesus Christ that these who hear these studies will be motivated to love You and to love sinners enough to tell them about You.
Amen.
And so we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Johnny, you had your hand up.
I had this should be two quick questions. So first of all, what was that verse where it says how Jesus comes after 2 days?
That was in Hosea. Did anybody else get that?
6:2.
Okay. Then the other question, more of a comment though, isn't there a, do you remember the verse where, I forget which, I think it's in the New Testament, where God does that, one this, and do you remember that verse?
One faith, one baptism.
Oh, that's in Ephesians. Yeah, we're not there yet, but we'll come across that in Ephesians.
You know, so you're talking about the guy who said he was doing solo this and solo that, but so interesting. You know, compare. You know, that's the, you said that version is leading to universalism, but then look at God's version.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. We'll check that out when we get there to see if the new versions. I can't off the top of my head remember if they've butchered that or not, but yeah, good point. Yeah, John.
Yeah, you probably already noticed in John chapter 2. After 2 days, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another reference to the.
You probably be interesting. I didn't do this, but just to put in the words "after 2 days" and see how many.
Yeah. Things.
Yes.
And after 2 days, you know, they're back in the land. They're revived.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dry bones come alive.
Yeah. We're seeing the beginnings of that now, but the full fulfillment is the millennium. Jenny?
Becky asks, what was the RRC purpose for Good Friday? And then she has another question.
You mean RCC, I think, start Roman Catholic Church?
Probably.
The purpose of Good Friday, I don't know, I'd say instead of purpose, I would just say that they built a lot of their feasts and dates of holidays on nonsense and not on Scripture. And if you want to see something crazy, just get a calendar from the Catholic Church. You can get it online for free. You're going to find not only are their feast days all messed up, and they probably messed us up on Christmas, by the way.
Yeah.
But that's one that we don't really know. The Bible told us when Crucifixion Day was. So there's no guessing about that. And most people believe that Christmas was either September or December. And some people get really dogmatic and ridiculous about it. I have my own ideas, and I joke about it being September 18th, but I do believe it's probably in September. But I'm not going to get silly about it and start, you know, causing trouble over it. But anyway, Good Friday, they established that was how it happened because of not knowing the Bible. As Jesus said, you do err not knowing the Scripture. And there's a reference to a Sabbath day, the day after Jesus died. So they just assumed that that's talking about Saturday Sabbath, which would mean he died on Friday. Well, if they had read further in the book of Luke, I believe it's Luke that tells that there was a Sabbath day after he died, and it was a high day, not a normal Sabbath. And that's because they had a Sabbath attached to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So when Jesus died that week, there were actually two Sabbaths. One was a high day Sabbath, and the other was a regular weekly Sabbath. That's why you have crucifixion on Wednesday. Nobody's doing anything on Thursday because it's a high day Sabbath. Then on Friday, they purchase the things that they were going to go to the tomb, spices and all that. Saturday, they take the day off. And then Sunday morning is when they go to the tomb. But the Catholic Church didn't base much of what they teach on the Scripture alone. And so that's why they ended up with that. Now, I want to add this then, and related to that is the reason why they go with the Sunday Easter every year is simply because it's convenient. And so instead of going by what the reality is, they decided, and it got ugly. There's a big word that starts with a Q. You can look it all up. But there's a big word that starts with a Q that they call this thing that happened back in the Dark Ages, where they literally went almost at war and killed people over this debate. Because there were people who said, you know, there's no way that Easter's every Sunday, or Sunday every year. And the ones who said, you know what, you'll just shut up. And they're like, no, we won't. And they said, yes, we will. We got the Pope on our side. He'll kill you. And they said, we don't care. So they killed a bunch of them. Yeah, that's the big carnal Roman Catholic Church. That's how they do things.
Well, they did that over the over baptism, too.
Yes.
Because the baptism was basically to tax people.
Well, and they had several baptism scandals. The Donatists they killed because the Donatists said, hey, if that priest is an adulterer or a sodomite, then we don't want him baptizing. And the Roman Catholic Church said, shut up or we'll kill you. And they wouldn't shut up, so they killed him. And you know who was in a big way responsible for that was Augustine. Augustine argued that it was okay to torture heretics. And he took a passage in the Gospels and perverted it to teach that. A lot of great stuff you learn in church history. It's not great in the sense of, inspiring you and seeing how wonderful the churches have been, but it's just a lot of great information to know because it really happened. Jenny, you got
another? Okay, Becky had another one. So she said, unless I misunderstood Peacock a couple weeks ago, you have to have all of the crowns in order to rule and reign.
That it? That's a difference of opinion that, you know, I don't take a big, bold stand on that because there's a lot of opinion in that. You'll find, no disrespect to Peacock or anybody else who's teaching on that, they all do what they think's right. But there are some guys who are teaching that you go to the judgment seat of Christ and you get whipped. And that if you were really bad, you're thrown, cast into outer darkness for 1,000 years. And you're saved, but you're in outer darkness during the millennium. And there's all kinds of stuff like that. And I don't buy that or teach that, but I'm just telling you. These are otherwise, you hear these guys teach most of the time, you'd say, good teachers. But on some of these things, you know, that's why Acts 17:11 is in the Bible. Search the scripture daily to see if what you're hearing is so. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, you got another one?
Aaron, let's see. Heaped up treasures for the last days. Could that be referring to the Vatican's wealth?
Yes.
If so, when the world economy collapses, you think they will use that as means to help implement the mark?
Yeah, that's all part of it. Absolutely. Yeah, the Vatican is hoarding. Oh, man. I mean, you know, we've talked about it in our studies of Revelation 17:18. I told you, the only way to really study that is to constantly watch for all the reports that come out. There's one fella who went into the basement of the Vatican, and he was sickened. He's a Catholic, and he was sickened because he saw so much wealth in the basement of the Vatican, and his church was being pressed by the Pope and the Vatican for more money. And he's like, what do you need more money for? You've got the things down here, you know, are priceless. And it's just, and they've hoarded up gold. I don't know, but there's some who claim the gold in Fort Knox is gone and at the Vatican. I saw a video where they did back in the, I can't remember what year it was, they sent some guys in and congressmen who said they saw the gold. But they didn't have any scientific test to say it was actually gold.
And they're politicians.
And they're politicians, so, you know. But there's others who claim that they've been in that Fort Knox and it's empty. There ain't nothing in there. And then some of the people claim the Vatican's got it. And the Rothschilds and some of them have got it, you know. So I don't know enough to say anything dogmatic, but I just know I think there's going to be... Judgment Day is going to be very interesting when we see how it all was really going down, things we didn't know. I think when you see that every president that's been assassinated including Ronald Reagan, who they almost assassinated, every time they touch Federal Reserve. And there's a reason why everyone who tries to get the Fed audited is destroyed. That's why I keep watching for Rand Paul. If they ever get close to getting that done, something's going to happen to Rand Paul. I just expect that. We've prayed for him because he's calling for it, and his dad did. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.